The Tongass National Forest in southeast Alaska is the country's largest national forest and the largest temperate rainforest in the world. The Trump administration has proposed loosening rules that would allow logging and road building there on land that has been protected from such activity since 2001. Reporter Daniel Grossman visited Prince of Wales Island in Alaska to talk to residents there about the plan.
Kurt Wessler stands in front of a huge log lying on a metal frame like a corpse on a gurney.
So this is large Alaska sitka spruce, and so when I say large, over 4 feet, probably in the range of 1,000 to 1,500 years old.
Spruce is prized for its stiffness and beauty. Wessler is cutting planks that will become parts for home-built biplanes.
No knots, no pitch, straight grain.
We're on Prince of Wales, the largest island and one of the most heavily logged parts of southeast Alaska. Wessler fires up a pizza-sized blade that slices along the log's length. The spinning metal lops off a slab of cream-colored wood. Ernie Eads, the mill's silver-haired owner, watches literally through a pair of rose-colored glasses.
Again, I'm Ernie Eads. I've always been a logger all my life. Wouldn't trade it for anything else anybody else does.
About 20 years ago, Eads bought a much larger sawmill, one that could process 5 times as much wood. But he's never switched it on. Overlooking a $100,000 heap of rusty metal, he tells me he just can't get enough logs for it.
There's never been a steady enough supply to employ more than one person. I'm too old to do it anymore.
He blames the lack of good timber on the Roadless Area Conservation Rule, nicknamed the Roadless Rule, of 2001.
The Roadless Rule ended new road development on national forest lands across the United States.
Biologist Natalie Dawson heads the Audubon Society's Alaska office. She says the sweeping Roadless Rule was meant to slow forest degradation, and it has. It prohibits timber harvests and new roads on U.S. Forest Service land that has not already been roaded and logged. Eads says the Roadless Rule, he prefers to call it a decree, ruined him.
When the Roadless Decree came along, it was almost unbelievable, you know, how everything came to an end for it.
Dennis Watson felt it too. During his 26-year run as mayor of Craig, the island's largest town, he watched the logging industry collapse and 1/3 of Craig's residents leave.
From the time the Roadless Rule came into play, I've always been an advocate of having an exemption here.
And now the Forest Service is proposing to do just that, exempt Alaska's Tongass Forest from the national logging ban, and once again open up about half of that forest, an area the size of Maryland, to logging. No one says making more stands available for clearing could bring back the heydays of the 1990s when 10 times more wood was being cut. But Watson says an exemption would help Alaska's timber industry.
It would make access to old growth easier.
That worries Meredith Trainer, head of the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council. She says Tongass's old growth groves are an ecological treasure, infinitely more valuable than lumber. They're home to 1,000-year-old spruce, cedar, and hemlock, and provide habitat for grizzlies, bald eagles, and other species.
Old growth is not a renewable resource. Trees are renewable. You'll cut them down and more will grow. But old growth, it needs to be around for so many years to get to that stature that we think it's time to start leaving old growth standing.
Magnificent groves of trees 12 feet across the base used to soar 20 stories into Tongass's misty air. Now only a few such giants still exist in small, isolated pockets. One study found that on Prince of Wales, only about 6% of the large tree groves remain. Commercial fisherman and forest activist Elsa Sebastian offers to take me to one. From the highway, we wind down a narrow path to the Thorn River. Spawning salmon splash in the shallow stream bed. Sebastian squats by a tree so broad she looks like an action figure by comparison. Last summer, she sailed a 350-mile circumnavigation of Prince of Wales in a project she calls Last Stands, hoping to inspire millennials like herself to rally around the island's vanishing ancients.
You know, we're standing beneath a super old spruce tree. You hear the salmon in the stream, and you hear the birds singing. Yeah, it's hard to describe, though. How do you describe this place? It's a wash of green.
Emerald moss carpets the ground. Chest-high ferns quiver in light rain. Sebastian waves to the spruce canopy far above us.
That tree was standing, you know, before the United States was the United States. Just being in the presence of something so ancient puts our lifetimes into perspective.
I'm back in Craig, where 20% of the inhabitants are native Haida and Thlingit people. Mike Duville, a Thlingit commercial fisherman, meets me at the town's one strip mall. He says cutting more old growth will make hunting and gathering berries much harder.
It's going to affect the wildlife that we live off of, like deer habitat, wolf habitat, bear, everything that lives in there. It's going to take 150 years to turn into a forest again.
Duville worries that soon loggers will begin cutting down some of the island's finest remaining groves and hauling their trunks to Viking Lumber a few miles from where we're standing. Workers at Viking Lumber on the edge of Craig stack logs into a mammoth pile with a forklift. Viking is Alaska's biggest sawmill and one of the island's largest employers. Environmentalists say that Southeast Alaska's future is tourism, which employs 20 times more people than logging, pointing out that visitors looking for the state's natural splendor are turned off by clear cuts. Former Mayor Dennis Watson doesn't buy it.
One thing that really ranks me is that people that come here from out of state and run a commercial guiding service or something in the summer and say how neat it is for them and they don't want the exemption back. What the hell do they know? You know, we live here and we've got to survive.
The Audubon Society's Natalie Dawson says she appreciates the plight of forest communities such as Craig.
But the reason these forests exist is because they were put into public trust. And this is land that's owned by all American citizens.
Michael Kampnich says he can understand the desire to keep cutting the old growth trees. He worked as a logger himself at the height of the timber boom.
Yeah, cutting trees and cutting big trees is a thrill.
Now he's a field representative for the Nature Conservancy, and he says he's not against logging, but the industry should leave the old trees alone.
It's almost like a last gasp at trying to maintain, you know, an industry, which I feel, you know, should be working towards a young growth transition in earnest.
By that he means that loggers should focus on stands that have grown back after being clear-cut before. Steve Seeley, whose sawmill Pacific Log and Lumber closed in 2008, agrees that second growth will someday replace old growth, but not yet.
We've got second growth and it's beautiful. And boy, it's fun to log. There just isn't enough to support an industry.
Seeley makes no excuses. He's proud of the products made with old growth that his mill turned into lumber. His office has a handsome Alaska hemlock door, and he collects guitars fashioned from Alaska spruce.
A Martin guitar with a spruce top, a Santa Cruz.
This is all Sitka spruce from Alaska?
These four are Sitka spruce that came from Alaska.
Can you just play me a chord?
Sure.
The Forest Service is accepting comments on its proposal to exempt the Alaska Tongass from the roadless rule until December 17th. It could make a decision any time after that. For Here and Now, I'm Daniel Grossman.
And Dan's story was made possible by the Pulitzer Center and the Whole Systems Foundation.